One optic setup to rule them all. This week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday our question comes from Gary from Patreon. And Gary asks, "Hi John, I've got a bit of a dilemma, and I hope you can help. I have an AR-10 in 6.5 Creedmoor on the way and need to decide on what aiming setups to get. I shoot local and occasionally national PRS matches using an MPA in 6.5 Creedmoor. I see the AR-10 for mainly defense and recreation, but I'd like to be able to shoot long-range matches as well. Is there a setup that can address both without buying magnified red dot aiming for one and use a variable FFP optic for the other? Also, what mount would you suggest to facilitate swapping my MPA optic to the AR-10 if need be? I really enjoy and appreciate your content, and thank you for the contribution you make to the shooting community. Stay well." Well, Gary, first of all, thank you very much for supporting us over on Patreon. And secondly, this comes up very often with trying to figure out how to bridge that gap where you have one complete rifle set up with optic and everything, and then you get another rifle, and to go with a quality optic for that second rifle is a pretty large expenditure. So people like to try to bridge the gap by using one optic on two different guns until you can save up the money for a second optic for that other gun. Now, your situation is slightly different because you mentioned using the 6.5 Creedmoor AR for defensive purposes, which would indicate you probably want to have an optic on that gun zeroed in most of the time, and then still be able to grab the high power magnified optic and drop it on the rifle for competition purposes. Because as I see it, the best optic for a precision rifle competition is definitely not going to be the best optic for a defensive situation. For most of us, defensive situations are going to be relatively close range. So in that instance, something like even a 3-18 first focal plane is going to be problematic at contact ranges that you're going to need to be able to defend yourself, your home, your family, etc. So there are a couple of options out there. Now, first thing I will address is if you actually want to switch the optic back and forth, the first focal plane optic that you have on your MPA bolt gun right now, then you need a good mount that will return to zero. Now, it doesn't necessarily need to be a QD mount. There are quite a few different mounts out there. You didn't mention what optic you currently have on the gun, but Night Force, Badger Ordnance, there are a ton of different manufacturers out there that really have good mounts that switch back and forth that are not necessarily QD. They use half-inch nuts on the side of them, and with a really compact torque system like Borka tools or Fix-It sticks, it allows you to really quickly swap those mounts back and forth and get very good return to zero with them. Then after you've accomplished that, you need to go to the range and obviously get your zero offset between the two. And we've done videos on that before where you need to figure out which one is going to be the lowest zero. That's where you're going to need to set your zero stop so that you're not constantly moving the zero stop back and forth. And then note in your data book what the difference is between the two. Now, if you choose to go with a QD mount, it is really, really important that you go with a high-quality QD mount that has a really good return to zero. We have had great luck with the Bobro Precision QD mounts. They return to zero very well. We have tested the ADM QDs in the past. They have made some upgrades to them now that give them a better RTZ. We haven't gone out and retested those with the newer stuff. LaRue's are kind of middle of the pack, but one thing I dislike about the LaRue QDs is if you are doing a lot of switching back and forth, they will mar the rail up. They will cut the anodizing off the bottom edge of your Picatinny rail. So that's something that you really want to keep in mind. But record keeping is going to be key so that you know when you're going back and forth what your zero is for each one of the systems. And then if you are choosing a scope to be able to do that kind of thing, I recommend something with toolless adjustment on the turrets, because if you are continually moving set screws, then you're going to raise the possibility of stripping those set screws out, damaging the threads, or inside the scope itself. When you remove the turret, there's usually a brass stem that those set screws go into and index against. And if you tighten them down time and time again, they do cut little dimples in those brass stems over and over. No matter how careful you are, if you're tightening them down enough to grip the stem so that they don't slip when you rapidly dial the turret, then you are going to put little indents in those stems, and it can be problematic again over time. So something that either has a screw that goes down through the top and a spline shaft, or something that has a toolless adjustment is really a good option for that. Now, if you are looking for a setup that allows you to kind of expand your ranges and do some more intermediate shooting, then a low mag variable, we have the Bushnell SMRS here. This is a 1 to 8 power, actually is 1 to 8.5. It is a 1 to 8.5 first focal plane scope with a really good reticle built into it that allows you to both use holdovers for longer range shooting, and it gives you a coarse enough horseshoe style reticle for close-in engagements when you have it dialed down on one power. It has daylight visible illumination, so that works really well, and it does have locking turrets. So you pull them up to dial, push down to lock that in. And it also has coin slot type screws to be able to adjust your turrets. So overall, it is a pretty nice system for a defensive large frame AR. It is bulky. It is a little bit heavy. So you don't want to put it on something like an SBR or something small and compact, because you are adding a little bit of weight to the overall system. But being able to dial up to that 8.5 power is great for target ID. It is great for being able to stretch the legs on it. And for not necessarily precision rifle work, but for DMR or defensive type work, this is a great option out from 100 out to that 800 yard line. You start to push beyond that and you're trying to engage man-sized silhouettes, then this may leave you wanting a little bit more magnification. This one happens to be set up in a old Alamo 4-star D-lock mount. Alamo 4-star was bought by Zero Delta. Zero Delta is bringing back some of those products, but they have not got around to the D-lock mounts yet. If you go to their website right now, there really isn't much on the scope mount. So hopefully they will get the D-lock mounts back out and running. I believe they ran some for a while, but I don't know what the current state of production is in it. Now, the D-lock mount is kind of interesting because it's a little bit in between a QD mount and a standard half-inch nut crossbolt type mount, because you have these little acorn nuts down here on it, and it's spring-loaded. I have a riser rail in here from a project that I was trying, but if I unscrew both of the acorn nuts on either side here and then push them in, then you see it drops the rail out. So you can push these guys in. Really, you actually don't even have to push it in. You just hook the far side on the rail and then snap it down, and it will snap onto the rail. And then you have the option of either screwing these down finger tight, which it does take a little bit, so it's not really quick, but it's more of a toolless detach. You can tighten them down finger tight, and I've never had a problem with it moving anywhere. You do, of course, want to load it forward on the rail when you tighten these down. But then you also have the option to come back and put a standard half-inch socket on here and torque them down to 65 inch pounds or whatever your preferred torque is, and really have this thing locked down solid on the rail where you're not going to remove it by hand. So kind of gives you a couple of options, best of both worlds. It's not the lightest mount out there, but it's also not a super heavy mount. So it's worked pretty well. I've kept it on this scope for a while because I can switch this thing around to different projects that we get in and use it. So both the Bushnell SMRS and the Alamo 4-star D-Lock mount is a winner for me for that 308 6.5 Creedmoor, that large frame AR platform that you want to be able to use from contact range to farther out. Now, another option that I have really been examining, because I'm still not sure how much I like it, but if you want to put a higher magnification optic on a large frame AR, say something in the 3 to 18 range, that you could actually go out and shoot precision rifle competitions with, but then something that still allows you to use it in that close range defensive system or role, something like the Badger Condition 1 mount that we have here is a really, really cool option. So it does use standard half-inch crossbolt, so this is not a QD mount. You're going to put it on here, tighten it down, and you're going to be done with it. But the Badger Condition 1 mount offers a really neat setup. Now, I do have a Bushnell 1-8 power. This is their AR optic 1-8 second focal plane scope that is in here right now that we are reviewing. But let's say this was a 3-18 power scope instead of something that has a true 1 power bottom end. Well, then even on 3 power, it is difficult to get on a target quickly at contact range, cross the room range, bad breath range, etc. So for that, we have a Trijicon SRO in an offset mount that attaches through the accessory port in the Condition 1 mount. So what this allows you to do is just roll the rifle inboard, and now you have a red dot sight, no magnification at all, straight up, and it is about as fast as you're going to get. With the SRO, it's very open. It has a very thin frame, so it really doesn't obscure anything. So if you run both eyes open and drive this up, you have a very open sight picture, but you have a very sharp, definite aiming point on it. So even if you were in a situation where you were shooting at a higher magnification, like if I had this set up dialed up to 8 power and all of a sudden I have a close-in threat, then I just go from using the magnified optic to roll it inboard, transition, and I'm able to find and precisely aim at closer ranges. Now, that can even help you out in the precision rifle game, because if you have stages where you're moving rapidly and you have your scope dialed up on a maximum magnification and you need to get on the next target, the dot allows you to quickly get over to where you need to be, and then you can roll up and you can get on the magnified optic. They are fairly close to the same plane, so there's no real cheek weld adjustment. It's just a matter of dialing the rifle to which optic I want to use. I'm not moving my head up and down. I'm keeping it in the same plane and dialing to where I need. So that, again, is another option if you are rigging out a system that is going to stay on the AR, or you want something that is really more oriented to what the AR can do for you. But again, there's nothing stopping you. If this was a, say it was even a 5 to 25 power or 5 to 30 power optic with an offset red dot, then that very easily could come off of the AR and go back on the bolt gun and vice versa. This is not really going to get in the way on the bolt gun. And again, it's there, it's value added. You may not use it in a precision rifle match, but it definitely would be nice to have if you were using that or pressing that 6.5 Creedmoor AR into a defensive role as well. So that's just an option, just something to think about. It does start to push the price point up quite a bit because the Condition 1 mounts are very high quality, but they are not inexpensive. And obviously the Trijicon SRO is a fairly expensive mini red dot. Is very high quality, works really well. We've been beating up on these for a little while now. And that just gives you some options for that. So hopefully that gives you something to think about. Now, For those of you out there that are looking at something similar, or you're swapping one optic back and forth, I would love to hear what your solution is to the setup. So please drop in the comments section down below. If you guys have any questions or comments over anything we've covered on this episode of Mail Call Mondays, please drop in the comments section down below or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. We will drop links to a link for everything down in the comment or down in the description below. A lot of this stuff we cannot link directly to from YouTube because of YouTube's policy. So we'll leave a link to our website and that will direct you to links to the other stuff. If you guys want to know how to support content that you know and love, just like Gary, then please check us out over on Patreon. And until next time, get out and shoot.